In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the second century, a great persecution arose against Christians. Many were arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. Some were beheaded, others fed to wild beasts. The point of all this was to make the Christian recant, to make the Christian deny Christ. Among those who suffered in this particular persecution was a man named Sanctus. He was arrested and questioned by authorities. But the ancient account tells us that no matter what question was put to him, he would answer in the same way: I am a Christian. When they asked him his name, he said, I am a Christian. His race, I am a Christian. What city he was from, I am a Christian. Whether he was slave or free, I am a Christian. Infuriated, they tortured him for hours on end, burned his flesh repeatedly, did everything they could to make him deny Christ, and finally killed him. The whole time they heard only one thing from his lips: I am a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a disciple of Jesus? For that is what you are. It's your identity. Deeper than your own name. Deeper even than your family ties. Deeper than the color of your skin or your status in society. You are a Christian. This is what Jesus preaches about as he journeys toward his cross. If anyone comes to me, he says, and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus here then mean to contradict the great commandment? Instead of loving your neighbor as yourself, you must hate them, especially those who are of your own flesh and blood? No, that's not Jesus' point. His point is that your identity as his disciple goes deeper than your family ties. Your relationship to your family is based on flesh. You are the result of the one flesh union of your mother and your father, and your brothers and sisters, the same. In marriage, husband and wife become one flesh, and your children are the result of your one flesh union, and so on. All of this is God's gift. It's wonderful and blessed in the Creator's sight. And yet this is also true. That which is flesh is flesh. And flesh and blood families turn out to be very fragile things. Easily shattered by sin, easily torn apart by death. That which is flesh is flesh. It's just the way it is. But you are a Christian. You have been given a new birth into a new family. This new birth is not of the flesh. You have been born of water and the Spirit. This new family is not of the flesh. It is a family of faith. God, our Father, Jesus, our eldest brother, with saints and with angels, one eternal family of God. And this is no fragile family. We are not shattered by sin. We are not torn apart by death. For our Savior has overcome both, dying that forgiveness would overcome sin and flow as freely as His blood from the cross, rising that death would be overcome by His life and our lives be kept safe with Him. Nothing destroys God's family, of which you are a member. This is your identity, deeper than your name, deeper than your family ties, deeper than the color of your skin or your status in society. You are God's own child. You are a Christian. Some people assume that being a Christian, that being a child of God, must come with certain privileges, a life of ease and blessing and glory. But Jesus says otherwise. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Who is Jesus but the Son of God, the child of God? And yet his life is certainly not one of ease and blessing and glory. He is despised by his own people. Numerically, his ministry is a failure. Financially, he barely squeaks by. He is cursed by the very ones he came to save. Instead of glorifying him, they crucify him, tear his flesh with whips, mock him and his teaching, strip him naked for all to see, glory in his death. But his death is your death, and his resurrection, your resurrection. This is why Jesus talks about you taking up your cross and following him. You are following him into death, but also into resurrection. The Christian life is not a life of ease and blessing and glory. The Christian life is about dying and rising. Daily dying and rising, Luther would say. It's not about self-improvement. It's about dying to yourself and being raised up again by God. That when you finally do die, and when you are finally raised by Christ in your bodies made perfect, you might then rejoice with all the saints of heaven. Stop and think, what will it be like for you on that day? For the first time, sinless. For the first time, free from weakness, sickness, pain, and death. For the first time, free from all pressures, all timelines, and all musts. For the first time and for all eternity going forward, free. For the first time, exactly as God means for you to be. It's coming. You are a Christian. Oh, Pastor, but what about the cost of discipleship? Well, in his sermon today, Jesus tells two parables that address this. First, he says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and isn't able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but he was not able to finish it. The second parable Jesus tells is similar. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with his 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if he is not, while the other is still a long way away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, Jesus says, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Notice the common theme in both of these parables. The theme is not having enough. Not having the resources to build the tower. Not having the soldiers to win the war. What is the cost of discipleship? Count the cost, Jesus says, and you will realize that you don't have enough. All your resources, all your pious thoughts, all your good deeds, none of it can build you a tower that takes you into heaven. All your troops, all your efforts, your energies, your strategies and thinking, none of it is enough to overcome the righteous king who is coming against you and all sinners in war. Count the cost and realize that you don't have enough. Then renounce all that you do have. As Jesus says, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. All that you have won't get the job done, but all that Jesus has will. You must renounce all that you have and receive from him all that he has. He will build the tower that gets you into heaven. And that tower just so happens to be his cross. He will be the delegation that asks the invading king for peace. And the terms of peace will be his own shed blood on Calvary's cross. And heaven's king will not destroy you, but forgive you. Count the cost and realize that Jesus is the only one who can pay it. And as you count the cost, and as you realize that it is Jesus and him only, you become and you are a Christian. It's your identity. More important than anything that you can do for God is what God has done for you in his Son Jesus. Jesus then speaks of salt. The salt that loses its saltiness is the Christian who has lost his faith in Christ alone. Salt is good, Jesus says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It's thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You are the salt. Christ is your saltiness. And without him, pietist alert, without him, we're not even fit for the pile. But with him, we have all things. For he who spared not his only Son, but gave him for us, how will he not also give us all things? You don't see it now, but that's how it's supposed to be. We live by faith and not by sight. At least until that day when all God's promises are kept, and we will see with our eyes what we have long believed with our ears. What shall we say then? Is the Christian life easy? No, on his way to the cross, Jesus turns and tells us that it is not. But whatever does come our way, profound sorrows or deepest joys, blessed peace or terrible violence, whatever does come our way, we shall say with all the saints, with martyrs, and with sanctus, I am a Christian. Who are you? I am a Christian. What's your name? I am a Christian. Where do you come from? I am a Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.